Well, praise the Lord. Well, 2 Kings chapter 20, as we dig in with our man Hezekiah here, as we go through the scriptures, just seeing what he's done. And remember, he was a good king. He was a man after God's heart. He was a man that did some things right and, of course, did some things wrong. We all do. That's why we need salvation. But it says, in those days, Hezekiah was sick unto death. And in the days that they're probably talking of is right after chapter 19 there, where the 185,000 Assyrians were killed by the angel in one night and driven away. And in those days, Sennacherib went home. He was the king of Assyria, and his kids killed him. And then another son took over. So it was probably in those days that Hezekiah, right after this, was sick. And it wasn't because of a sin issue that we know of. As you read through scriptures and read especially 2 Chronicles and parts of Isaiah, there's no mention of him being in sin with this part anyway. He's going to fall into sin later. But so it probably wasn't a sin issue, but just a life issue. Because we're all in those places where we're going to pass someday. Yeah, and we need to be ready for those times. Even last night ministering, there's a young gal there overseeing all the nursing home stuff that was going on. But I'm glad she had to stay there because got to give her salvation. Hey, you don't know when you're going to die, but we know Jesus is going to take care of us if we do. So, you know, all those things are there, and sometimes there aren't sin issues, but it's just something to show Hezekiah of his own heart in his own ways. And even in our states, in our ages, in the times, we know that we're closer home. There was a lady there last night. She's 101, and she's still loving the Lord. And it just amazing. She goes, I'm closer than you are, though. Well, you never know. I could die on the way home tonight. I don't know. But just amazing. The outlook that people have is sometimes so wonderful. But certainly to show Hezekiah his heart with the Lord and the things that God had for him. But it says, he was sick unto death, and the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amoz, came to him and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live. Pretty forthright, pretty right in your face. I guess that's the way prophets were in those days. There's no grace involved in that. It's just, here's the real truth. Here's what's going to happen. But it says then in verse 2 that he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and done that which is good in your sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. He was in that place. He knew it was time. The Lord had told him through Isaiah. But isn't prayer, as we look at this, isn't prayer one of the best preparations for going home? To get before the Lord and just to get the Lord's heart in the midst of it, and just to know his presence and just to trust him in the midst of it. Hold your place here. Go to Isaiah because there's a great account that's going on here. And we see it in Isaiah. Isaiah 38. It has kind of the same account, and you sometimes don't put these books together, the prophets and the kings that are going on, but sometimes it's a good thing to go through if you have time, just to be able to put them together and to read them. It's just a good thing. But it says, in those days Hezekiah was sick unto death, and Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, came unto him and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live. So the thing he wants him to do is something that we should probably look at in a sense, because we do it when we set up wills in all of those things in our country, that we do that. But in those days, they didn't set up the wills. Whatever we had, our kids or family members get and all that stuff. Now the state gets it, unless you have something in place. But he says, set your house in order. Get your house in order and let the folks know what's going on. And that's a good thing for us because we know that we're not always going to be here. And kids, if we're gone, don't mourn for us because we know where we're going. If you don't know Jesus, you're not going to see us again. And that's a hard thing to say, but it's a right thing to do with our family members and with our relatives that don't know Jesus, because they aren't going to understand unless somebody tells them, and maybe we're the only ones that are going to be that living word to them, just to let them know, you can be here, but I'm going to be home. I'm going to be with the Lord. I'm going to be with the Lord that I've served all my life. That's why church on Sundays, church on Wednesdays, my Bible readings in the morning.
Thursday mornings.
That's why we do these things, is because of Jesus. It isn't because we're trying to earn our way to heaven. It's because we've already got the ticket. We're just trying to learn about heaven and get ready for it. But to prepare our household for those things that are going to come to pass. What's going to happen after we leave, and what's going to happen with you guys? We know one lady, she's a dear old saint, but she has a Bible in her house, and it's open to 1 Thessalonians. If you come into the house and I'm not here, read this chapter. You'll find out where I am, because the Lord has come and got me. And it's great. And she's got it highlighted so they know which portion to read. And it's just wonderful. And she's told them all. She's setting her house in order and doing those things. And certainly that's for us too. And that's what Hezekiah is trying to do. But it says that he turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord. So there'd be no interruptions. You know how sometimes you look away and you just kind of get focused on something else so that you don't get distracted with all the other things going on. This is his prayer, and this is the way he's praying. He's just turning so that he's not going to be interrupted. Remember, he's still king, so there's still people coming in and out and doing all those things. But if they come in and see him busy about something, they're not going to bother him. Let that prayer go forth without interruption. And he said, remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee. And look at that word, walked. It's past tense, because he's looking back on his life. He said, I've walked with you. And as you look at the book of Ephesians especially, there's 6 times, I think, in the book of Ephesians that it talks about our walk with the Lord, and how our walk is supposed to look like. It isn't so that we can get entrance into heaven. It's what happens after salvation comes. And our walk should represent our relationship with the Lord. We go, how are we walking? And we're living witnesses to those people around us. We don't even know some of them are watching, but people are watching us. And they're looking to see what Jesus looks like. And if we're the image bearers of him, Lord, help me to be a good image bearer and help me to walk rightly. He says, I've walked before you in truth and with a perfect heart. I've done that which is good in your sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. And then came the word of the Lord to Isaiah, saying, go and say to Hezekiah, thus saith the Lord, the God of David, your father, I've heard your prayers and I've seen your tears. I'm going to add unto you. Which wasn't a good thing, but sometimes when the Lord tells us it's time to come home, we need to just let it be as such. Hezekiah is looking for a little more, looking for something else, looking for more time here. And I don't know about you, but at my age, I'm not looking for more time here. I'm looking to go home. But it's interesting as you look at Isaiah and you read Isaiah and you hook it up with Chronicles and then with Kings, you just get so much out of it, and you see his heart. His heart was there. He was a king. He was representing the Lord to his people. Remember, because of his prayers, because of what he had done, Assyria didn't gain entrance into it. But what he was going to do in those last 15 years that the Lord added to him was going to cause Assyria to come in. But it just shows what's going to happen if we leave off our prayer life because we get an answer. We're always supposed to be before the Lord in prayer. Paul says, pray without ceasing. We go, how do you do that? I sleep 8 hours a night. Come on, I'm not praying. But it's just the attitude of the heart. that's always before the Lord and always ready to have communion and fellowship with him. Because isn't that what prayer is? It's us conversing with our God and listening to him. And most Christians forget the second part. We give them our shopping list, but we don't listen. And that's why you have one mouth and two ears. Because you're supposed to listen more than you're talking. And most Christians don't go there. We give them our grocery list and we tell them, see you tomorrow when I got more. Instead of listening to hearing what he wants to say to us. So back in Kings here, as we look at this, we see the same thing going on. Verse 3 says the same thing there. Remember how I've walked before you. And in verse 4, it says, and it came to pass afore Isaiah was gone forth into the middle court, that the word of the Lord came to him. So he just leaves his chambers, tells him he's going to die. Set your house in order, get things ready, because you're going to die. And he goes out, and the Lord touches him again. And here's Isaiah's heart, and this is wonderful, because Isaiah is listening to the Lord. He didn't even get out of the house, and the Lord says, okay, go back. I don't know about you, but if I just said something to somebody, and then the Lord says, go back and tell them something different, I'd be wondering, did I hear from you at all, Lord? But it doesn't seem to faze Isaiah that the Lord has changed his message to him. He knows that the Lord is good and his ways are right. He's in that relationship with the Lord, and he's strong enough in his relationship with the Lord that when the Lord speaks again, he hears, even though it's a change of direction from what he just said to somebody, he's okay with it. He doesn't argue with the Lord about it, and he goes right back in and tells him. And that is amazing to me. Because I'd be questioning, Lord, did I hear from you at all? Am I just hearing things? Or is my relationship such that I know when you speak that it's true and I can go on with it no matter what you say? Oh, and that's wonderful, but that's maturity. That's a long time being in the presence of the Lord and just listening and hearing God and knowing him so well that you would know that it was him no matter what the message was. And you look at some of these prophets. I mean, one of them walking around the desert naked for 3 years. No wonder they think we're strange. You know, sometimes we do strange things. But if it's of the Lord, it's a good thing. And the world is looking at us now like we're strange people. Because we still celebrate Christmas. I'm so thankful I can go into a store and say Merry Christmas. I don't have to say Happy Holidays. Because it's Christmas. It's not Happy Holidays. And I get to tell them that. I'm sorry you have to say that. I can say Merry Christmas. Because that's what it's about. Because we know now. And we have such a relationship that we're steady enough in our faith where we can do that. But Lord, help me not to stop here. Help me to keep growing. Yeah.
That makes me laugh.
Mm-hmm.
I think
they'll figure that out someday, and they'll change it to something else. Happy winter recess or something, I don't know. So he says, turn again in verse 5 and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people. And look at what he calls Hezekiah. He doesn't call him just the king, but he says, you're the captain, you're the leader. You're the one in charge of my people. You're the one leading them. You're the one guiding for them. You're the one providing for them. You're the one that's giving direction in all of this. Hezekiah, you've done a good job. And the Lord is really complimenting him. The Lord is really exalting him in giving him this title. Because remember, the captain of our host is Jesus. So he's really complimenting Hezekiah there. He says, thus saith the Lord, the God of David, your father, I have heard your prayer. I've seen your tears. And the Lord looks at us because remember, he collects our tears in a bottle. And he knows what to do with those tears. And he knows how to minister to us in those times of tears. Because we all enter into places where those tears come. And it's hard in this life. It's a natural thing. It's not a bad thing to cry. I always used to hear that it was awful for guys to cry until I got saved. And it was just like, oh, this is awful. I've cried more since I got saved than I ever did before I got saved. And it just, Lord, what are you doing to me? You're making me look like a wuss here. Come on. He says, it's okay. But he collects those tears because he's saving them, because he knows what to do with them, and he knows how to help us in the midst of it. So he knows when we're upset. He knows those things that are going on. And this time of year for a lot of folks is a hard thing. Pray for my daughter. Her name is Lisa. Her son died a year ago on the 20th. And her grandson died 5 years, oh no, 8 years ago. In November. So she's lost her son and her grandson in just a few years, and she's hurting and she doesn't know the Lord. So keep her in prayer, please. Thank you. That was an offshoot. It just came. But she's a mess, especially this time of year. It's just so hard for her. But he said, behold, I will heal thee. I've seen your tears. I'm going to heal you. I'm going to bring you to a place of healing. And that's what the Lord wants to say to us. And we look at it in the natural sense, in the physical sense, and we say that's a wonderful thing. But there's also a spiritual sense going on in there for us too. In the application for us is, one day I'm going to heal you completely. And you're going to be whole for the first time in your life. When you get to heaven in that new body, without sin issues, oh, can you imagine a whole day? How about a whole hour without a sin issue? And we won't even need coffee to do it. It is just going to be great. And we can't wait for those days. But Lord, until then, continue to grow me, continue to teach me so that I can continue to long for heaven. I've seen your tears. I'm going to heal you. And that's such a great thing to put together. He's seen our hurts. He's seen the anxiousness of our lives. But he says, I can heal that. Because our God is the only one that can heal it. There's no other God in this world that can heal the heart issues. Only our God can. And that's why we go to him. That's why we bring others to him when they're hurting. Is that there's only one place to go with this hurt, and you can't handle it. I think that's one of the reasons there's so many folks in state hospitals and in the R wings. The R wings are packed. They haven't got enough places for them. And you can tell because a lot of them are out on the streets that used to have to be at home, in a home, because they just couldn't handle life. But now, because the beds are full, they're out on the streets. And those poor folks are not handling things. But I think one of the reasons is they don't want to come to Jesus and let him heal them. Oh, keep praying, keep praying. I've seen your tears. I'm going to heal you. And when you come into those times, and guaranteed we're going to come into those times, that we're hurt, that we're hurting, that things are going on, know that God can heal. And trust it. And bring the family to that place. This is hard for us, but I know God can heal us, and I know we can go home. This time of year is awful. My brother got killed when he was 13, and I saw my father carry him into the house. And Christmas Eve was a terror for my mom. And I used to watch her, because we're always watching, right? In the last song, I hate Silent Night. Sorry. But when we would, because Silent Night is always the last song you sing at candlelight service, and you light the candles and you start singing Silent Night. It was awful because my mom would sit there and bawl every Christmas because my brother wasn't there. Rough. And I still remember her crying, and it was just like, what are you doing? This is supposed to be happy. But God healed her. And God brought her to a place, but it still hurts. But there's a healing that can go on that can take you past it. We don't have to stay in that place. We can move on and we can go forward. And that's what we want. Not only for us, especially for us, but for our families and for those around us. Because we all know folks that are struggling and hurting. and it isn't going to get better. The Bible tells us that the days are going to wax worse and worse, and we see them coming. Lord, what are we going to do? And he says, give them me. He doesn't tell us how to get out of it. He tells us how to go through it. And that's what we need. That's what we need to have for those that are around us. He said, I'm going to add, verse 5 there. I've seen your tears. I'm going to heal you. And on the third day, you're going to go up to the house of the Lord. He's our God that heals us the third day. And whenever you see the third day in Scripture, know that something big is happening. Because 3 days, 3 nights in the belly of the whale, 3 days, 3 nights in the tomb, third day, you're going to rise up. I think that is just so cool. And I'm going to add onto your days 15 years. Why 15 years? I have no clue. So when you figure it out, you can let me know, okay? I'm going to add to your days 15 years, and I'm going to deliver you in this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria. And I will defend this city for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake. Even though Assyria is still around, Assyria has gone. Remember, they went back because they had other battles. The king was killed and his son took over. But they haven't vanished completely. And it just reminds us that our enemy is not gone. Even though Jesus defeated him on the cross in his death and his resurrection, he defeated death, he defeated hell, he defeated Satan, all in one swoop in that place. But it doesn't mean the victory is here right now. The victory's to come. And he says, I'm going to take care of this, and I'm going to defend this city for my sake, and you won't have to worry. Even though our enemy's defeated, he's still not gone. He's going to come back. And if you're out of spiritual warfare going on right now, praise the Lord for it. Because you know by tomorrow you're going to be back under it. So just keep fighting. Just be ready. Be prepared. Get strengthened up for the battle that's going on. I'm going to add to you 15 years. I'm going to deliver these things. Look at what the Lord does for him. He ministers to him what he's doing in the future. He's prophesying to him things that are going to go on. So when Hezekiah sees these things, he can say, Lord, you already told me. This is what's going to happen. And we have promises in the Bible of what God has told us is going to happen. And the world thinks we're crazy. You worship a God you can't see, and you think he's going to come back and just take you out of the world. Mm-hmm. Yep. It sounds kind of wacky, doesn't it? But you know what? It's not wacky because God said it. It's a truth that the world can't understand because they don't have a spiritual nature. Their spiritual nature is dead, and they can't believe it. But when they see it, boy, and look at all they're going to have to do to cover it up. The aliens came and took them. All the spaceships. Why do you think there's so many spaceships in the world right now that they think they're seeing? They're just demons flying around. We're starting to see some awakenings, some things that are going on, of things that we can't handle in the flesh. Yeah, I don't want to see him. I just want to see Jesus. But this is what I'm going to do for you, Hezekiah. I'm going to take this city. I'm going to keep it. I'm going to protect it. I'm going to protect you. And we can look at that in our own life. Lord, you're the one that's going to protect me. My kingdom, my realm is right here in this house. My realm is right here in this city, and you're going to protect me. You're going to keep me until the day that you come to take me home. And then I'm going to be protected for eternity. But you're the one that's going to keep me. There's going to be things that are going to happen. The enemy is always going to be around. The enemy is always going to be shouting and yelling and attacking. But Lord, you can protect my heart from going in the wrong direction. And that is such a wonderful thing that our God does for us. He's the one that does it. We don't do it. He's the one that does it. Even when we're weak, he's strong. And we trust him in the midst of it. And Isaiah said, take a lump of figs. And they took it and laid it on the boil, and he recovered. So evidently he had this boil thing that was going on, and it was killing him, and they didn't know what to do with it. But it says that they took the figs and put it on there. And we look at that and go, maybe I should go out and buy some figs at Wegmans and get them. And in case I get a boil, I can just slap those babies on there or give some to my doctor so the next time he has a patient, he can give it to him. And we look at those crazy things, but you know what? It isn't the figs that healed. It was God that healed. Remember Naaman in 2 Kings? That we read it earlier. He came from Syria. And the prophet didn't even go out and see him. He just said, go dunk yourself in the Jordan 7 times and you'll be healed of your leprosy. Ah, and he did it. And it says that his skin was like a baby's skin when he came out. Brand new. Ah. And it brought him to salvation because of it. We're going to see a Syrian captain named Naaman in heaven. That's going to be cool. To see somebody that can get saved out of the depths of being against the things of the Lord and coming into the kingdom. Just like you and I. And the Lord is going to refresh us and strengthen us. It isn't the figs. It isn't the river. It isn't the dunking 7 times. It's God that heals us. And that's why we pray to him. Sometimes he uses medicine. Sometimes he uses figs. Sometimes he uses strange things. But it's still God that does it. And it's just amazing. We've got folks, their daughter is in Florida. She's got a handicapped child. And he's missing part of his cerebellum. Yeah, whatever that thing is. And the doctors are flocking into the hospital to see him because they took him in for tests because he keeps having seizures. He's in a wheelchair. She adopted him. She's taking care of him. He's 17 years old. And the doctors are coming in. And the one doctor that's overseeing him, the neurosurgeon, is saying he's missing this part of his head. And they said, well, he's a vegetable. And he goes, come see this kid. He's going to school. He's a senior in high school. And he's up with his class at the age group. And the doctors are going, we don't know how this happened. And she's going, I got the answer. Nah, it can't be God. It's God that can do it. In spite of what we look like, in spite of what we're missing, God can take care of us and bring us to a good place. And so we just trust him for it. It isn't the figs. It isn't the river. It's God that does it. Don't thank the doctors, well, thank them, but thank them for being used by God to do what they're supposed to do, but thank our Lord. And Hezekiah said unto Isaiah, what shall the sign be that the Lord will heal me, that I shall go up into the house of the Lord the third day? I don't know about you, but this bothers me, because didn't the Lord just tell him what he was going to do with the Assyrians? And what is he doing? What's the sign? Hello, I already told you. Oh, I need another one. And isn't that just like us? The Lord tells us something and we get excited and we go, yes, that's wonderful. And then we go, can I have another sign? Wouldn't it be great when we can come to the day that we just believe it for what he says and we don't have to ask for a sign? Oh, that's a maturity. That's a walk. And you can't blame Hezekiah for doing it because we're just the same. And we'll do those things. But you know what? The better thing is to be like Isaiah, that when the Lord told him, he went right back and did it. No talking, no arguing. God didn't have to explain it. He didn't have to give him another sign. He didn't have to tell him anything else. He just believed it and he went and did it. Lord, get us to that place of maturity where we can walk in your strength and walk because of who you are. In verse 9 it says, boy, you guys are behind. We're supposed to be well beyond this. And Isaiah said, this sign shalt thou have of the Lord, that the Lord will do the thing that he has spoken. Shall the shadow go forward 10 degrees or go back 10 degrees? In what this, you know, the old sundials that were out there. And he said, should it go forward or should it go backwards? Which means God can do anything. And Hezekiah answered, it's a light thing for the shadow to go down 10 degrees. Nay, but let the shadow return backward 10 degrees. I'm going to give you a hard one, God. Can you do this? Let's see, if the Lord can speak the world into existence, I think he can have a sundial go backwards. Remember Joshua when they were fighting the battle, and it said the sun stayed up for the whole day, the whole time, until he defeated the enemy. Oh, can God do anything? Yes, Lord, you can. But do we believe it? So this 10 degrees is probably, from all accounts that I've been able to dig up, and nobody agrees on anything. That's what they say about Jews. You have two Jews and you have three opinions. Is that this was probably about 45 minutes. That he, sorry, Betsy. We just lost Betsy's. This is probably about 45 minutes that the sun goes backwards. A light thing in the eyes of the Lord, a light thing to happen for God to do. Can he do anything? Yes. Do we want to tempt him with it and ask him? If we're in unbelief, it doesn't hurt. But the better thing is, Lord, help me to grow so that I don't have to ask for this, so that I can just believe it and walk in the truth of it. Oh. And Isaiah the prophet cried unto the Lord, and he brought the shadow 10 degrees backwards, by which it had gone down into the dial of Ahaz. Notice Isaiah isn't afraid to take this request to the Lord. In his maturity, in his walk with the Lord, he knew that the Lord could do it. He knew that the Lord was going to do it. And so he brings it to him. And he does it, I think, not because Isaiah needed to know, because Hezekiah needed to know. He was doing it for Hezekiah. But Isaiah is the one that prayed. Could Hezekiah have prayed? Sure. But don't we do that sometimes? We go and ask somebody else to pray for us? And we expect to see results. The better thing is, Lord, I'm just coming to you. Ugh. And at that time, in verse 12, Berodach Baaldan, the son of Baaldan, king of Babylon, sent letters and a present to Hezekiah, for he had heard that Hezekiah had been sick. And Hezekiah hearkened unto them, and showed them all the house of the precious things, the silver, the gold, the spices, the ointments, all the house of his armor, all that was found in his treasures. There was nothing in his house nor in all of his dominion that Hezekiah showed them not. And here Hezekiah comes to a place where, because the Lord has done all these things, it almost seems like Hezekiah is walking in vanity, just proud of all those things, which is kind of okay, but there was no wisdom, no discernment in it. And what you notice too is he doesn't ask the Lord. He just goes and does it. Lord, should I do this? Or is this something I shouldn't do? Just because things are going all right in our lives, and this is the most dangerous time for us, for any Christian, is after a time of victory. Once you get victory in an area in your life, we become more vulnerable than ever. Because what do? We just let down our guard. And we go, oh, thank you, Lord. And there's no guard. There's no. We take off the armor of God and just set it down. Well, I've gotten the victory, so I'm okay now. And the fiery darts just come. And we end up not praying. We end up not seeking the Lord for answers. Instead of seeking the Lord for answers, he just says, oh, yeah, this is fine. I'll do it. Instead of seeking first in everything, not just for one thing, because he was so busy praying about getting 15 more years to his life, he didn't bother to pray, should I let the enemy in my house and see what I have? And we do that sometimes. He sent him a get well card. I said, oh, thank you so much. Come on into my house. Come see what I have. So you can take it in a few years. Amazing what we do. So Hezekiah hearkened unto them and showed them all those things. And in verse 14, then came Isaiah the prophet unto King Hezekiah and said unto him, what said these men, and from whence came they unto thee? And Hezekiah said, they come from a far country, even from Babylon. And he said, what have they seen in your house? And Hezekiah answered, "All the things that are in my house they have seen. There is nothing among my treasures that I have not showed them." Look at the insight that Isaiah has compared to the insight that Hezekiah has. Isaiah says, "Who are they? Where'd they come from?" And Hezekiah tells him because he knows everything about them because they've talked to him. But Isaiah sensed already that something was amiss, something was wrong, because he says, "Who are these guys and where'd they come from?" Because remember, he's a king of a nation. There's other kingdoms sending delegates to them all the time. But this is the only one that Isaiah comes and says, "Who are these people? Where did they come from? What are they looking for?" The insight that he has compared to the insight that Hezekiah has is so different because of his walk with the Lord and his closeness to the things of God. If he wasn't close to the Lord, he would have no discernment like Hezekiah didn't have any. And there's some things we don't want to show the enemy. The enemy already knows what's going on, and he knows how to get us. But sometimes he uses people to get into our lives that shouldn't be in our lives. That's why if you get a check in your spirit, and sometimes that happens, and it can happen in church, somebody can come up to you, and they just talk to you, and you get a check in your spirit, something is amiss, something is wrong. Don't come against them, just pray. "Lord, what is this, and what are you trying to show me?" And I think if you sit back long enough, you'll find out what that check is for, because eventually the whole thing is going to come out. And there's people in the church that do that. They just come in to divide, because remember, Satan can come as an angel of light. And where does he come? Into the church. And Satan has taken over so many churches and caused so much division and closed down churches because of the divisions that have gone on because of one person coming in that's disrupted the leadership, disrupted the whole congregation, caused splits to happen. The enemy comes in and just does that. If you get a check in your spirit, just check. See the fruit of what's coming. And if the fruit is good, just say, "Okay, it was the pizza." If the check comes out and you see what happened, just say, "Thank you, Lord, for giving me a check in my spirit." But everything by prayer and supplication, right? Because that's what we're supposed to be. Everything by prayer and supplication to our God. Hezekiah had none of that. Isaiah had it all. Ugh. And in verse 16, Isaiah said unto Hezekiah, "Hear the word of the Lord." He's already got a word from the Lord. This amazes me. I'll sit there for weeks before, just like, "Lord, I want this. How come I'm so far behind? Where is my life, Lord? I just don't get it sometimes." He says, "Behold, the days come that all that is in your house and all that your fathers have laid up in store under this day are going to be carried into Babylon. The people that you let in are the people that are going to come and take every single thing away from you. Oh, nothing is going to be left, saith the Lord." That sometimes that's the consequence of our failure to listen to what God says, our failure to seek the Lord in those times. And this was going to be Hezekiah's failure. And it was during the extra 15 years that he was getting. And that's a sad thing. The other bad thing that's going to happen is he's going to have a son, Manasseh, who is going to be the worst king Israel ever had. Oh, gee, what a legacy for 15 extra years. I would rather be with the Lord and not have to go through all of that. But hey, these things are written for our example, right? They're written for our learning so that we can learn from these things and hold on to these things. And it says, "And of thy sons that shall issue from thee, which you shall beget, shall they take away." And look at what he says. You're going to have sons. Oh, really? You're not just here to be a king for an extra 15 years. You're going to have kids, and they're going to be taken away. Oh, that would be a hard thing. And they're going to be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. Oh. And then said Hezekiah unto Isaiah, "Good is the word of the Lord which you have spoken." And he said, "Is it not good? Peace and truth be in my days." He's thankful for the days he's going to get, and he's also, in a sense, okay with what God has deemed necessary to happen. Because of your life, Hezekiah, these things are going to happen, but they're not going to happen in your lifetime. They're going to happen to your kids. And he says, good and right is the truth of the Lord. And it is. Even though we're going to suffer, even though we suffer because of where our kids have gone and where they're going, we can still know that God is good all the time. And that's one of the things trying to get our folks at the church to do. God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good. And they say it back to me now, and it's just one, I just, it's wonderful. Because he is good all the time, but do we believe it? Well, God, you call this cancer good. You call me having to go to the hospital good. You call it good that I can't go back to my home anymore because of my condition. He says, yeah, because I'm teaching you things in the midst of it that are going to be good for you. And really, there should be no place in our lives where we would say, God, you did this to me, and I don't like you for it. Sometimes we fight with God, don't we? But we can either fight with God or agree with God. And that's the place that Hezekiah came to. He's growing in his faith, in his realization of who God is. He's over all, and he's in charge of all things. And Hezekiah can be okay with what he's doing. He may not like the fact that his kids are going to have to go as eunuchs into Babylon, but God is still good. No matter if his kids go to Babylon or not, God is still good. God is still the same. He hasn't changed. But we've got to believe it, and we've got to trust it, because if we do, we'll get through life a lot better than we are now. So Lord, teach us and help us in that. In Romans 11, verse 22, it says this. He says, behold, therefore, the goodness and the severity of God. On them which fell was severity, but towards thee goodness, if you continue in his goodness. Otherwise, you shall also be cut off. The goodness and the severity of God. And isn't that what the world tells us? If God is so good, why are people going to hell? They usually say, why does God send them to hell? But God sends nobody to hell. They choose to go. They have to trip over Jesus to get to hell. And he doesn't send them there. But that's what the world, that's how the world thinks. But the goodness and the severity of God, because he can't have sin in the camp. As you look at Exodus, it's so amazing. In Exodus, right after Aaron makes the golden calf and puts it in the place, God moves the tabernacle. Moses takes the tabernacle, moves it from the center of the camp, and moves it outside the camp. Why? Because God can't dwell where there's sin. He's going to be outside the camp. And then he came, and the cloud came over the tabernacle outside the camp, because he isn't going to dwell where there's sin. He's severe on sin because he knows what sin does to us. Do you see the effects of sin in the world? We're all going to die. And it's not because God hates us. It's because of sin. Cancer comes. Mental issues come. Not because God is mean. Because there's sin. None of that was supposed to happen. All these things that are going on, we wouldn't even need hospitals if Adam and Eve never fell.
Or prisons.
Or lawyers. Not even going there. Or politicians, but I wouldn't say that out loud. We wouldn't have to have all of that. It isn't God's fault. But the world wants to blame somebody, so it's got to be God. But it's not our God. It's the God of this world. Our God is above that. And that isn't what our God does. But he's severe on the things of sin. That's why we need to be careful as we walk through this world not to fall into sin. Because God is severe on sin. And sometimes we reap the results of that severity because of our sin life. And so God, help us to grow and help us to be in that place. Let's finish up here, 20 and 21. And it says, now the rest of Acts of Hezekiah, and all his might, and how he made a pool and a conduit and brought water into the city, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? So again, go to 2 Chronicles 32 and read all of these things. And Hezekiah slept with his fathers, and Manasseh his son reigned in his stead. That's the awful thing that came about with the other 15 years. But this conduit is just an amazing thing. This is a tunnel underground, 1,777 feet long. And they started at two different ends. And it was to keep water in the city, because if Assyria or Babylon came back and besieged them, and the first thing that they would do is cut the water off, right? Because that's what they do, because you can't live without water for long. So they found an underground spring, 1,777 feet, at two different ends. They dug through rock, and they met together perfectly in the middle. That isn't the world. Our engineers can't even do that. Only God can do that. But it kept the water flowing into the city, no matter if they were besieged or not, so they would always have water. An amazing feat that he did. And God gave him the wisdom to do it. And God gave him the people that would be those workers who would be able to do this and have the strength for it. And they did it, and then they put the pool of Siloam there. And you can go to Israel today and see parts of the remnants of the pool of Siloam. And you just realize what God has done for Israel and what God continues to do. He's still watching over Israel. It's just an amazing thing. But if God can do that, what do you need dug out of your life so that you can have that living water flow into you? What kind of tunnel do you need dug underground inside that's blocking that refreshing water to come in? Because our God can do it, and our God can show you what it is, and he can have you meet it in that right place where that water will just flow then, and you'll be refreshed and strengthened in who he is. And that's what we need, and that's our prayer for each other, is that we would just be refreshed by our Jesus and know him in these days. So, Father, just thank you for your word, Lord. What an unbelievable picture that we see sometimes of our own lives, of other people's lives, of the condition of man, the condition of the world. And yet you put all these things together just to show us what's right, what's wrong, and how to get what's right, and how to be right. And so, Father, thank you for giving us this much instruction. Lord, give us hearts that would want to receive that instruction. Give us hearts after you. Give us hearts that would follow hard after you, Lord, and not walk in the ways of the world. We don't need more programs, Lord. We need more of you. And so, Father, empty us of the junk that's there. Empty out those rooms that are full of just garbage that need to be cleared out, so that you can bring refreshing water in, Lord, to refresh us and strengthen us for the days ahead, for our times that we're in even right now. There's so many, Lord, some even here that are depressed and discouraged about the times, discouraged about events that are going on. But Lord, you want to bring refreshing waters to encourage us and strengthen us. So help us with that, Lord. We just thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth of it. May we love it. May we hold it as precious in our hands. And may we just devour it, Lord, and let you bring to us a maturity of our faith that would just blow us away. And Lord, strengthen us for it. We love you and we thank you, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.